Thank you all for letting me be here. A little bit about myself. I'm studying exercise science at USC. I'm in my last semester, and I work at the Wellness Center on campus as well. And I've grown up playing sports and being active. And my in between my freshman and sophomore year of college is when I really got into the Word of God and truly became a disciple of Christ. And also my athletic career ended at the same time. So I was like, I've spent my whole life playing baseball, running track, doing these different things. Now what? If I'm supposed to get a heavenly body one day, why am I working with a body that's going to perish to begin with? So, and with my major as well being exercise science, I'm like, what does the Bible and what does God say about being healthy and physical activity or wellness? It's not super direct. It's not incredibly deliberate with what it says in the scriptures, but I think that God makes it very clear, and I think that it took me a little bit of time. I didn't know what to do when my athletic career ended. I was just kind of like, okay, now what do I do? Why would I need to exercise? I'm a Christian now. I'm going to heaven. It may not particularly matter. And now this is my major too, so I need to find this valuable. So within a year after that, by my junior year, I think just sitting in the classroom listening to my different professors, I think that I really found God showing himself through science and through our physiology, through our bodies, that God's glory is truly within us. Amen. And I remember sitting in one of my classes, and the first time I had ever really heard this, one of my physiology professors, I don't really remember the question, but I remember him saying that science doesn't have the answer to that quite yet. And I was thinking about that, how through all the medical discoveries that we make every day in all the universities across the nation, across the world, that we still are learning so much about how God works within our bodies. And a huge conviction of mine is that God made us to move, to worship him, to glorify him through dance, through singing, through our bodies. And just to read a few scriptures, you all don't have to turn there, you can just listen. They're real short, but for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. That's 2 Corinthians 5:1. And then in 2 Peter 1:13 through 14 it says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Those are a few scriptures that I think if you take out of context, it's almost like, well, YOLO, like I'm going to heaven one day, so why does what I do right now exactly matter? But there's a few scriptures that I think really stand out in my mind that I really hold to. And one is in Philippians 1:20 through 24. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I think that God really does value life here on earth. He wants us to find him and search for him. I think that our health and our wellness is something that he does value. He wants us to live healthy lives, productive lives, so that while we're here on earth, we can make an impact for him. And I think that exercise is a way that we can become more disciplined. It is a way that we can feel better about ourselves. We can share it with others. It is a way that we can also too today, I want the idea of exercise to change a little bit in your mind. It's not sweaty people in spandex. It's moving, it's glorifying the Lord, it's dancing, it's playing with your grandkids, it's getting outside, it's going on a prayer walk with your best friend. I think of David in the Bible. Imagine how many miles he probably walked with the sheep, just praying under the stars, seeing nature. And I think that that is a great thing. That is a good thing to do it early in the morning, to get our minds focused on Christ, to get our physiology working with our mind, with our spirit. But I think that this scripture is so awesome because being a disciple of Christ, following Him, has so much to do with other people and those around us, and us impacting them, not just about ourselves. So amen, we will be given earthly bodies one day. But while we're here, let's make the most of it and live a life that is abundant and live it to the utmost. Another scripture that I love is in John 10:10, and I chose the New Living Translation because it words this a little bit differently. It says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." And most versions it says life more abundantly. But I like that, rich and satisfying life. This scripture that I just read really came to life for me a few years ago. My sister had gotten back from a missions trip, and she came back very depressed and overweight. And through spending time with her and working with her physiology, it was a way that she could fight back. It was a way that she could take control of the day, take control of her mind, to renew her mind. And it was about a 3-month process, and the biggest transformation was in her mind, not in her body. She had a sprained meniscus, and my sister, if you know her, loves to dance, loves to run, loves to get out in nature. I call her the tree woman, because she's always outside. And for those things to be taken away from her, I believe that had a lot to do with her depression. And every day, it was her looking in the mirror and saying, "I am valuable beyond measure because of what Christ has done for me." And I think every day you have to get up and you have to look in the mirror and you have to say that. And going back to that scripture, it's God wants us to have a rich and satisfying life. And what the world tells us about health and fitness is wrong. It's not what makes you valuable. You are beautiful. You are. And you have to walk in that and believe that. And doing that, working on your health and your fitness and changing little things in your diet, is acknowledging the way that God made you, and not the other way. It's not the other way around. The world says that you're valuable because of the way that you look. God says, "I've made you beautiful. Walk in it. Live in it." In the first part of that scripture, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. I saw my sister literally fighting for her faith. And by her getting up and her not wanting to, her depression led her to sleep sometimes 14, 15 hours a day. She didn't want to get up. But it was when the disciples are in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus tells them, he says, "The spirit is willing and the body is weak." My sister had to meet her flesh full on and say, "God is better. He loves me. He values me. Let's get up. Let's do this. Let's sweat. I will be mastered by nothing." And are we not intricately made? It says that in Psalms 139. If you just look throughout the scriptures, God values us so much. And we cannot listen to the world. We cannot get our information from places that are trying to sell sex or trying to sell this image that isn't real, that's airbrushed to begin with. It has nothing to do with that. And I've been so blessed that through my journey in science, that I get to see more of how God has made us within, through and through, what's running through our veins, what's running through our arteries, how God lifts our lungs, expands our lungs, how our heart beats. It will continue to beat until you die. It is an incredible muscle. And I think that through Lauren's process, I was able to see the neurological benefits, that the runner's high or exercise euphoria is real. That the neurotransmitters that are released, they're produced in higher concentrations during exercise. And I think that they had a lot to do with her recovery, and it's something that she's kept up with. She's kept up with her exercise, and sometimes we just need to get out and go for a walk. And I think that is great, to go to God, go out and pray. Spent many a night going on a prayer walk or going on a prayer jog with a friend. And long term, it's shown many neurological effects as far as dendritic sprouting, and that basically means that neurons are denser, and shown signs to fight wasting diseases and within the brain and in the body and whatnot. I am a nerd. I could talk about it all day. I see the glory of God through our bodies. But the enemy is definitely after our minds. And Paul talks about, he says, let's see. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, it says, Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And I think that the Bible talks a lot about discipline. And throughout the Gospels, the word disciple is used so much. Not necessarily Christian until later on in Acts, finally in Antioch. But that word disciple, disciplined, to be a follower of Christ. And I think that we can definitely get a lot of discipline and disciplining our minds and our spirit through exercise and doing it with a friend, including someone. You may have a coworker or someone you're reaching out to, and maybe you want to, let's on our lunch break, let's go for a walk. Let's see how you're doing. Let's share and commune with the Lord and pray together. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I think that, of course, exercise does manifest itself in our body, whether it is losing weight or toning your muscles or feeling better, having better posture. But I think that it really starts with your mind. There's a mental transformation, and I just want to talk about a few practicals as far as exercise and fitness go. But the Lord has made you beautiful, and walk in it, and know that. And if there's, and what I just said, if there's a twinge of well, there should be no well, there should not be a well, so speak to someone here, get close to the people here, and talk about it, because what Christ did for us on the cross is enough. We are to die for, are we not? And that's just what I wanted to share. As far as I say, we are to die for. But I wanted to share a few just practicals. I didn't want to get, today's not a huge talk on science or what I'm learning about in lab or anything like that. It's just that God is amazing, and he manifests himself through science, through everything, and through our own bodies. And so much of our spirit and mind and body are connected. And that's the way that God made it. So my first practical is knowledge is power. Know your resource. Know your resources viewpoint. They're trying to sell you anything. They're going to skew science. Also, too, we should not be getting our information from a magazine or book that's also trying to sell us sex. You're not going to get great science. Beware of diet fads. The greatest thing you can do, and I love the way God has made these laws that you see throughout the scriptures, that it's all about consistency. Drawing near to God on a consistent basis. Making small changes over time. It's not, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this week. That's not realistic. That's not healthy. And every time you go through a crash diet, it's going to mess up your metabolism. Because if you do not keep up your habits, you will gain the weight back, and it will destroy your metabolism and make it harder to lose that weight in the future. So you want to do things steadily and slowly. Small changes. I have a few copies of what I've talked about today, and I have my email as well. So if you have any questions, please email me. I'm not an expert. I don't have my degree yet. I don't have a degree in nutrition, but I can give you some really good resources that will point you in the right direction, and you can read for yourself. And if any diet is calling for you to cut out a major macronutrient, that means fats, carbs, or protein, then that could be very harmful to your body, unless you're a vegetarian or have food allergies or some type of health concern. You need, one thing that drives me nuts is that when the news or media, pop culture, makes carbohydrates out to be the devil, because you need it. Your brain runs off of glycogen. You'll be in a very terrible mood if you cut out your carbohydrates. Now, which ones to choose and what not, that's a different story. But everything in moderation. My first anatomy and physiology teacher said we should be great mediators of balance. He said something along the lines of, I'm a great believer in balance and not being one extreme to the other. We can do things over time to make changes. And isn't that how it works, being a disciple of Christ, reading the Word, drawing near to God, that He changes you daily? Sometimes it is a big, drastic change. But with health and nutrition, it's good to do things over time. My second practical is Skittles eat the rainbow. And what I mean by that is not to go and eat Skittles, that eating a wide variety of colors and vegetables is your best bet. You don't want to drive yourself nuts and with counting calories or anything like that. It might be good to do that for a little bit to find out what you're actually getting, because sometimes you may be thinking you're getting less, but you could be getting more, or vice versa. But you don't want to spend a lifetime of doing that. That's not what life was talking about. That's not what God was talking about, and having a rich and satisfying life. It's making small changes over time. But in Skittles Eat the Rainbow, I think that it's incredible and it's beautiful that God color-coded our nutrients. For instance, red vegetables usually have lycopene. Yellow, greenish has vitamin C. Green vegetables usually have potassium and vitamin C as well. But there's so many. I'm not an expert on nutrition. I just think that that's incredible how God has color-coded our nutrients for us. But I wanted to look at a famous diet in the Bible. And I'll just read it. You all can listen. But this is the Daniel diet. And this is just an excerpt from the book of Daniel. And it says, "The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard who the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat yourselves in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. That's Daniel 1, 5 through 14. I think there's a few really awesome points in this passage. First off, I really think that Daniel choosing this diet, the first thing I thought of was how he wanted to be separated. He wanted to be sanctified and set apart from the other people within the group. He wanted to show that he was truly God's people, that his God was the God of Israel. And another thing I think is important is that this diet was only for 10 days. It wasn't like a life. This wasn't a lifetime of just vegetables. This wasn't a diet that was for a long time lacking in protein or fats and carbohydrates. But I think that the mind frame he had was, I'm in training. I'm set apart. And I think that oftentimes it's good to have that mindset for a period of time. It may help you to refocus, to draw near to God. By having a fast, or that might be a good jump start I don't like the word diet. I like the word lifestyle. You want to keep it, because if you don't keep it, you're going to be miserable. If you don't hold on to the changes you've made, then you'll be back to where you started. So you got to find foods that you enjoy. And I'll say that about exercise as well. If you don't enjoy it, are you going to want to do it? No, you're not going to want to do it. You got to find what you love to do and explore that. And in that, it'll be a great adventure. You will find what you love. You might find out you love kickboxing, or you love going out to play golf with a loved one. You never know what you love. In my own journey of fitness, I'm still finding out what I like to do. And I never do the same thing for an extended amount of time, because I myself get bored as well. But I think that their mindset was, I think that Daniel was truly drawing close to the Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel 47:12, it says, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Hippocrates, the founder of modern medicine, in a sense rephrased this when he said, let food be your medicine and medicine your food. God has given us everything we need through natural food, through fruits and vegetables, through foods that come through the earth. And with that, I think an easy way to think about, I like to think about food as fuel, and I love to think that if God made it, then it's good. If God didn't make it, maybe I can think of another choice instead, if it's processed or it may have fillers in it. So I like to think about that if God made it, then it is good. Another point I'd like to make is, it's kind of a metaphor, but your metabolism is like a bonfire. And I'd like for you to think about a bonfire. And if you feed it firewood steadily, it will burn steadily. The more often you put logs on that fire, it will burn. But if you starve that fire, it's going to turn to smoke eventually. And it's going to have a tiny little flame at the bottom, maybe some embers. So the more often you eat, the more you are boosting your metabolism. For example, maybe you could start eating 4 meals instead of 3. And what will happen is just that, what I was talking about. I think you'll be satiated longer. You won't get home from work and it's like, I gotta eat right now. Because I know that whenever I get home from work, if I've missed a snack or a meal, I want to eat. And I'm in that moment, I'm going to be undisciplined, and I'm just going to eat whatever I can find in large amounts. I'm not a samurai, and I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, I got to eat this and whatnot. I'm going to eat whatever comes my way. But it could even be a snack in between meals. I think that's a common misconception, that snacking is bad, but the more often you eat, it will boost your metabolism, and then you won't have to sit there and eat the majority of your calories in 1 to 2 sittings. Breakfast is very important. It's extremely important, because when you sleep, you don't want to go 12, 14 hours from the time you sleep to the time you eat again. So if you don't eat breakfast, try to find something that you like. It might be a smoothie. Not everyone's a big breakfast person. And my fourth thing, ways to increase your metabolism. Okay, here's my pitch for lifting weights. And a common misconception is that weights will make you more manly, or they will make you bulky. This is not true, because women create 1/15th to 1/20th the testosterone that a male creates. You will not become bulky. Common misconception. As a male with that much testosterone, I've been trying real hard, and it's not the easiest thing to do, or else I'd look like Arnold Schwarzenegger already as it is. But if you gain a few pounds of muscle, you will increase your calorie expenditure throughout the day. So if just by doing that and lifting weights in itself, your body will expend energy trying to repair your muscles, so it'll stay with you longer. So for instance, as soon as you stop cardio, that's kind of it. It's over. Unless you were walking hills, once you stop, that your body's gonna go back to normal. But after lifting weights, your body will continue to spend calories throughout the day. Now, when I mean lifting weights, I don't mean going in there and putting a lot of weight on the bar and trying to bench press it a few times. I mean just light resistance. I could talk about that all day. I don't have a whole lot of time to go into that, but light resistance. And that's really all that I have. Like I said, I'm not an expert, but I'd like to discuss whatever you all would like to talk about. And if you all had any questions, if you don't, that's fine. If you can think of some later, I put my email address on the bottom of the message. And if you really want, you can get my phone number from my mom. You can call me. You can ask me anything. Nothing is taboo whatsoever. I get all kinds of questions all day at the gym that I work at. So nothing is silly to me whatsoever. But that's all that I have. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me share today. It's something that I'm very passionate about. And that's all that I really have. Woo!
That was very good.